Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sucks Talk. Tonight, we are truly blessed because we have Carl and Francine with us, and they're going to talk about the powerfully arousing and life-altering experience they had going to Black Rose 98. My sturdy and steadfast co-host Lurleen is with us again tonight.
And in fact, I have with me a little brochure from Black Rose 98, Washington, D.C. Black Rose, let's see, what do we have here? Winner of Pantheon of Leathers 1998 Best Club and Best Club Event Awards.
And Pantheon 98.
Yeah, so we know about Black Rose here. The Black Rose is a forum for different expressions of power, but not a swingers group nor a sex club.
I'm actually a little bit confused. Can we step back a little bit? What is Black Rose? So this is a convention that took place in Washington, D.C. last weekend?
Right. Black Rose is a BDSM support organization based in D.C.
BDSM, which is
a common acronym which attempts badly to encompass a lot of different things.
You forgot your T-shirt.
Oh, I did. It is usually taken as three pairs of things: BD being bondage and discipline, mm-hmm. DNS being dominance and submission, S&M being sadomasochism.
The reason I said that about the T-shirt is they gave out really cool T-shirts this year that had bondage, discipline, submission on them with BR98 across it.
It's not the sort of T-shirt you wear, you know, to go home with dinner with mom and so
forth. Right, I was just going to ask whether there was an important thing about BDSM and making your preferences public, because it's not that often we've had on the air, at least since I've been here, couples who aren't involved in bondage and discipline and so on.
Well, we did this about a year and a half ago, actually, when you weren't around yet.
Right.
Well, anyway, Black Rose is this support organization. They're now 11 years old. Last year, for their 10th anniversary, they threw this. They didn't know how well it was going to go, but they arranged for this really large and well-planned event that was just called BR10. Mm-hmm.
BR10.
Black Rose 10th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they take over the Ramada Inn in New Carrollton, just outside of D.C. They are in essentially complete control of the whole hotel for the weekend. The usual dress code is essentially suspended. The hotel staff have the understanding that people will be walking around barely legal, and sometimes not that, away from the public areas. You see a lot of people wearing a great deal of leather, an awful lot of metal, and way more skin than you will see anywhere else.
So this sounds incredible. So are there no civilians in the hotel at all? Like,
define a civilian. That's a very fuzzy term.
What if you just happen to have a reservation because you were in town that
you don't. Especially to get into the main hotel, the Ramada Inn itself, where this is held, you have to make a reservation acknowledging that this is for Black Rose. If you don't say that you want Black Rose, then suspiciously, I suppose, reservations are not available that weekend. They are all filled up, which of course they were. Last year for BR10, they had vicinity of 1,200 people come through. They weren't quite sold out for capacity as far as the legal limits of what can be in the exhibition center. We'll get to what's in there in a little bit. This year, the reputation they established last year was so good that this year they sold out with about 1,600.
1,600 people?
1,600 people.
Yeah. 1,600 people from the D.C. area?
From all over. I mean, we're here from Pittsburgh, and this year I think, well, we were aware of about 10 or 15 other people. Well, I shouldn't go too high. I'll say 10 people conservatively, yeah?
People we ran into from Texas, California, Canada.
Yeah, a few from Canada. Mm. They come from all over. It's a big event. It is run so well. It's a series of organizational workshops, play parties, some fairly silly games that are actually kind of fun to watch.
But not a swingers club nor a sex club.
Neither.
And the workshops.
I guess I have to say that it's officially the policy that, you know, there is no sex that is directly involved with this organization. That said, I mean, let's not kid ourselves that BDSM is heavily into sexuality, and some stuff happens without the official notice of anyone.
So the sex in the corridors of the hotel was wild.
In all seriousness, I would be deathly surprised if any actual sex occurred in the hallways of the hotel. Mm-hmm. Now, in the exhibition center where the play parties happen, well, maybe. I didn't see it personally, but that's an open debate. And from what we heard from some of the other discussions, some did happen. But they take over the whole hotel. This year, they ended up swamping five hotels. They start with the Ramada Inn, and they just claim it, and not just the rooms, but the entire place, including the exhibition center, the ballrooms and conference areas and everything. Excuse me.
They actually went beyond the five hotels.
Yeah, they started out knowing that they would take the whole Ramada, and they arranged for two other hotels, a Best Western and a Red Roof Inn or something like that. And within
also with open-minded staff.
Well, they don't have to be as open-minded. They're told what it's for, and they understand that people may be dressed a little unusually, but you can't flagrantly violate the legal dress codes in the
other
hotels.
Which is masking tape over nipples and
right. You can't expose breasts. You can't expose genitals.
Right.
They got to the third.
We have the same dress code here, I think, in the studio, isn't that right?
That's right.
Well, I understand you did a nude show a couple of weeks ago, so you may
masking,
have violated.
Masking tape abounded.
Masking tape abounded. Oh, yeah, right.
I think that's just a rumor.
Quite a story there. Quite a story. I wish I'd heard that show.
We would have came.
Hmm.
We would have joined in.
Yeah, we might have been here.
Except we're not allowed among the nudists of the world.
You brought it up. Now you got to finish it.
You're allowed among the nudists. You've been excommunicated.
She's making a limited context observation.
Wow, I had no.
The nudist community doesn't accept very much in the way of body art and body piercings.
Really, and so you have a problem with that because you're tattooed or what you have body art.
We were told we offended family values at a local nudist resort because of my nipple rings.
Oh, come on.
Dead serious.
Nipple rings are just...
It wasn't merely that we offended some of the people there. We were told by a board member that this was a problem, and we got fairly disgusted that we figured the one place where people wouldn't care too much about specific body issues would be at a nude resort.
And we were
leaving.
Daughter with us.
And we bumped into someone else we'd met one time before and asked him, and he got all hot and bothered and said, hang on, let me go get these other people. And we apparently started an argument among the board.
Wow.
As to what policy actually was. And
you wouldn't think there'd be a dress code in a nudist
group. you wouldn't think of there being a dress code, but I guess that's what it amounts to. And they came down on the side of, well, it wasn't really against policy, but there were certain people very
we've heard since then that they have established a policy,
right.
So I guess we set precedence.
And so the policy now says no nipple rings.
Yes,
no,
we were told this about 4 months ago by a friend of ours that we see about every other month.
Does that mean Naomi Campbell wouldn't be welcome?
I don't know the name.
Belly button?
Probably.
So you can go... If you took out, if hypothetically, you took out your jewelry, you'd be okay. Or are they offended by the fact that you are pierced, period?
I think it's only if they can see metal that they would get upset.
But that was at a time when I had just been pierced, so I wouldn't have been able to have even
No, she couldn't take them out at the time.
They were
bare months old at the time,
right.
and you have to leave the initial set
right.
in. You know, you get stainless steel rings the first time around, and they have to stay in to just let things have a chance to heal.
Yeah.
You can't take them out for
I'm
months.
Not saying that you should necessarily comply. I was just curious whether they were offended by the, you must be 100% unadorned, or if they were offended because you'd pierced the sacred vessel of your body.
Since then, you've been pierced, and I have tattoos put in other places, so I'm sure.
Ah, another thing we can ask you, have tattoos... Can you
know this from the last show, Corey.
Oh, this is the
go ahead. Go ahead.
Your tattoo says "Property of Carl" somewhere.
Correct.
Is that right? Fascinating. Where is this tattoo?
On my crotch.
Really?
Do you need to shave for it to be visible?
I keep shaved.
She's kept herself shaved since long before I knew her.
But if you allowed your pubic hair to regrow, would you no longer be the property of Carl?
I think it would take a long time.
I mean, but it's in that area where the hair would otherwise.
Yeah,
grow.
It would right. obscure it if not cover completely. But again, she's been keeping herself pierced since she finished puberty, I guess.
Shaved.
I said pierced. Pardon.
It would be great to use electrolysis to selectively destroy the hair follicles so that your hair would grow and say "property of Carl" in that pattern.
The funny thing is, after you're tattooed, you can't shave the area. And I am ordered to keep it shaved, so I had to pluck it.
Oh.
Individually.
You mean just right after you're tattooed? Or
right.
Once you're tattooed, you can't abuse the skin around it. It's been abused badly enough and has to have a chance to heal.
Oh, so.
And
sure.
So if a guy were to get his face tattooed, he couldn't shave his beard for a while.
Fascinating.
And we're supposed to be talking about BR.
Yes, okay, so
Black
we got
Rose.
Sidetracked.
So, Black Rose, where nudity and piercings were permitted.
There's a lot more than what I
these
have.
Black Rose people weren't as stuck up as these nudist freaks.
No, well, for good reason, after all. I mean, the BDSM crowd is fairly out there in the minority area of personal preferences in terms of sexuality and living styles and style of dress, for crying out loud. And so there is a fairly conscious effort to accept just about anything.
Now, but one thing I have heard of before is bondage and disciplined people being offended by old people.
And you have?
Yes, I've heard about people in leather and chains and
my goodness.
And
there was a
handcuffs
whole, there
being
was a whole workshop
by...
this past weekend on seniors in the scene.
Okay, and so it's definitely...
I kid you not.
Seniors.
You have different age groups in the scene, and I think it tends to be a 30 and up crowd. Was there something there was something on Generation Xers in the scene.
Yeah, there was one on Generation Xers because it's the younger crowd, which are, as a gross generalization, just figuring out the more detailed aspects of their sexuality. Mm. And I'm looking here on the schedule from what we had over the weekend, and it was Saturday afternoon at 2:00. There was a 2-hour session on seniors in the scene.
That's outstanding.
What can I say?
So seniors doesn't mean over 35, then?
No, I don't have the blurb right in front of me, but yeah. It seems that the one-paragraph thing said, as a rough ballpark, 50 and up.
Mm-hmm. We have watched some very erotic scenes of older couples, so...
Yeah, they've really got it figured out, frankly. You can learn a lot.
So can you think of anything?
I'm sorry. I want to give out the phone numbers. Mm. If you want to call in and ask our fabulous guests some questions, you may call 268-WRCT or 621-9728. That's 621-9728. I'm sorry, please proceed.
Right, well, I have a question. I do, in fact, have a question. So I wonder whether you can think of areas. So obviously Black Rose is supposed to be a weekend for people who are fairly uninhibited about their sexuality. And I had wondered whether somehow perhaps age was something that people into BDSM might have inhibitions about. But do you think there are some inhibitions that some of the people in this scene secretly harbor? Do you find inhibitions in yourselves that you're still trying to overcome?
Well,
or do you think there's some value?
There are certainly things that turn us on and that particularly turn us off.
Right.
There are things that I don't want to do.
And what sort of things might that be?
Scat. I don't know if we can describe that in detail on the air.
Of course you can.
Sex play involving feces.
Right, yes. I find it a fairly disgusting concept generally.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's something you need to overcome?
That said, there was, again, a session on exactly this sort of thing, and I was there for the
I
first...
I went.
Francine went and listened.
So
I was there for the first part
of
it, which included a different aspect of what they call
water
sports.
There was a workshop on water sports.
Was this some kind of variation on water sports?
No, it was on water sports in general.
So water sports this is different from the usual. I mean, this is not
jumping in the pool and swimming. No, this is
she's the correct
bodily
words.
Function play.
Urination play. enema play, and scat.
Ah, excellent. So you went to this water sports seminar and did they have demonstrations or?
I believe they did. We left before that because we went on to a temporary piercing seminar.
Temporary piercing.
You have to space out your time because
right. There's so much.
Seminars overlap.
So temporary piercing might be useful for that nudist beach.
Right. We learned a lot about
it was
temporary
a very full
piercing.
Weekend.
It was quite interesting.
So how
I'm
do you
sorry,
pierce?
Let me interrupt you. We've got a phone call and I think we should take that. I'm sorry to suppress you, but is the caller on?
Yeah.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for calling.
Oh, no problem.
Did you have a question or comment you would like to...
Yes, I do have a question.
Oh, please.
Hi, Demir.
I understand that Franny and Carl had a special anniversary during Black Rose.
Oh, really?
Yes.
We have no idea. What an exciting surprise. what kind of anniversary was that?
Well, rumor has it that Franny responded to his personal ad 3 years ago.
That's correct.
Almost to the date.
It was
Friday.
Yeah, 3 years ago on October 12th or so, I posted a personal ad, and 4 days later she responded to it, which just happens to have been this past week.
16th.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You've been together 4 years. Well, that's
3 years.
Three. I'm sorry.
You can subtract. Yeah.
And
the question that inquiring minds want to know.
Uh-oh.
Is how did the two of you celebrate?
Wow. We worked.
We worked. We were busy.
We did play Friday night.
We
played Saturday night.
I don't think we played Friday night.
Friday night we worked a booth till 3 a.m. and
yes.
We didn't get back to our room till after 4
and we fell
slept.
Over.
And we got up and went to workshops in the morning.
That sounds so non-traditional.
But we played the next night.
Yes.
So do you celebrate an anniversary normally? I mean, do you celebrate the signing of your contract, for example?
Boy, you're going to step right into that one, aren't you? I mean, there's a couple of different anniversaries that we could keep track of, and you know, we're certainly aware of the dates generally. It was 3 years ago that I posted an ad, and she responded to it a few days later. She was one of only two responses I got, and the other one was a very sarcastic response that didn't think very much of my ad, I guess. It was about 4 months after that we got as far as getting her moved into my household, and it was 8 months after that, around Thanksgiving, when we finally put a contract together. With us, doing a contract was sort of I wouldn't call it an afterthought, but it was certainly done much later in the game, pretty much by design. Anyway, so, you know, there are these dates that we can consider anniversaries, and I don't know that we consider anyone, quote, the anniversary, unquote.
I see.
So.
But you didn't really celebrate the anniversary then.
There just wasn't time.
So Black Rose is important.
This always
falls around the whole thing of being at Black Rose. We did it last year. We did it this year. We'll probably do it next year.
So on your anniversary, in fact, then you were working in a booth.
Yes. There are lots of vendors around.
Uh-huh. And what were you
there
vending?
Are two vendor areas at it, and basically what people sell here is oodles and oodles of toys, fetish wear, equipment. Lord knows what all you can get.
Bound Delights, I see here.
That's us, Bound Delights.
Okay, so I have in my hand, then, a paddle or two.
Oh, by the way, I'm just going to interrupt you. By the way, I'm going to remind our callers that Lurleen is going to whip me every 5 minutes with these paddles.
But a caller may require...
And she's late.
until you call. And no, wait. I mean, maybe that will dissuade people from calling. If you call, you get to request an intensity and a number of whips for
and a location
and a location for your host. So how's that for your encouragement? I'm
well,
sorry.
They seem
don't forget to ask for yours, Demure.
What's this?
Your name is Demure.
That's one name by which she is known, and it's sort of antithetical to her actual personality,
isn't it?
I need a cool name. But anyway, so Demure, you may request that I be hit anywhere in any part of my body and for any number of times.
Hmm, do you have experience with this?
Do I what? I'm
sorry. Are you experienced at
I've been in graduate school for 8 years, so I've experienced all kinds of pain.
He's into masochism in this regard.
Seven years.
You really can't subtract
How many
tonight,
years?
Can you?
I'm sorry, Demure, I didn't hear that.
How many years?
Seven and counting.
So how many paddles?
It's on the inner thighs.
Demure, he's had his butt turned red at a Chance and Roddy party.
Inner thighs, how many?
How many?
Seven.
Oh,
one for
okay. Oh, dear.
Okay.
So you have to use both of them together. It hurts more.
She's holding a pair of them. One.
One.
Two.
I hope
that's
Master
nothing.
One objects.
Three. Come on, lean
Four.
Into it. Five.
Ow.
Six. Seven.
Oh yeah.
Well, I can observe that his thigh has gained a certain red mark across it. He has taken a bit of.
So DJ 2000, would you like to share with us how that made you feel?
That was fantastic. Although I'm hardly broken.
He squirmed deliciously.
Take a lot more than that.
Oh, don't tempt them! Don't tempt them.
So I can feel a little endorphin rush. I'm kind of aroused a little bit, but.
So in any case, we have then here some paddles from Bound Delights. And what other products does Bound Delights produce?
Well, those were just promo giveaway things.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that it exists is that we have a number of friends around the area here who make toys. And they make very good toys, and they make them for not too bad a price. Mm-hmm. And one of the big problems, in our opinion, is that when you go looking for appropriate toys that are suitable, when you go looking for a flogger, for example, you can easily expect to get into three digits without even breaking a sweat. And
I noticed you had a flogger hanging from your belt.
It's been a sort of a part of my personality for years now. I carry a keychain whip off of my keys. It's a little 12-inch thing.
In fact, that's how we first met.
The first time you asked me to come on the air, you sent me a Zephyr, and you said you were wondering if I'd be interested in coming on your show to talk about my sex life. And I was wondering, what the hell does that mean? And it took some explanation from you and Zephyr to say that you had noticed my whip, I'm going to botch it as a quote, but the sense of it was that there had been some rumors that my sex life must be kind of interesting.
Well, it was your whip and I believe you were wearing a bracelet at the time that said Master.
Oh, well, okay. So, I've had several bracelets of that sort over the years. I don't have one at the moment. The last one I had failed.
Well, you can't whip yourself.
Master,
you can only whip me.
Talking to mine on the internet, and he wanted to wish the two of you a happy anniversary.
Demir, you have to speak up. I'm sorry. We can't quite hear you.
I said, speaking of masters, I'm talking to mine on the internet, and he wanted to wish the two of you a happy anniversary.
Well, tell Deviant thank you.
Sure.
Deviant and Demure?
Yes.
Like
yes.
Two superhero characters.
Oh, not quite.
Demir can also turn into Akasha, so watch out.
She's a switch.
Oh.
And in context, this means that she plays. She works either side of the street, as it were.
Oh, really?
The dom or sub. She tends towards sub, as far as I'm aware. But I have seen her in action as a dom, and she's dangerous.
I have felt her in action.
Wow. Well, we're gonna have to.
I've never had any complaints.
Demir, we're gonna have to get you on the show at some future date. Sounds like.
See, each show is just a shameless troll on Corey's part to find more.
Can we ask the callers questions? You can ask her about Twister at her last party.
Really? Twister?
Now, you'd have enjoyed it.
I'm going to have to arrange...
Male Twister.
I'm sorry, what was that about Twister?
We played submissive male Twister.
Oh,
a lot of submissive men like to be trampled.
Fantastic.
They like to be stepped on, so...
Left foot Corey.
Really? So is that how the rules go?
Right,
we laid them
Cal.
Underneath the twister board, and then we spun it around, and the dominant women played on top of them.
Oh, that's incredible.
A good time was had by all.
I can't even imagine that. So you spin the spinner, and it lands on right foot red or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? Like the women?
And then the dominant women, like, stepped on the submissive men.
And, of course, they all have heels on.
Oh, really? Excellent. So the heel just lands on whatever body part happens to be there? Like,
that's right.
You could step directly on their scrotum or whatever? That's incredible.
I don't think scrotum is on the twister spinner wheel, actually.
I'm not sure if this is a special twister or not.
We were going to play... naked submissive female twister, but a certain submissive female left the party too early. The one that was really, really looking forward to it.
Wow. Now, can like a radio host such as myself get invited to your parties, or how does this work?
Well, I told you, you can read it on the air.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure I'm supposed to read this on the air.
Opening is sealed envelope.
Detailed parts of the...
Well, while we're reading this invitation, I should actually, I forgot to remind our listeners last week, please go to our website, the Sex Talk Love Line website at sextalk.wrct.com, and you can listen to not only tonight's show, but all of our past shows and all of our future shows at that site. You want me to read this? I'll read this except
there's no
for
real
the,
need.
Except for the address. All right, did you write a little poem? No, this will just make our listeners guilty because I get to go to, or, you know, they'll feel bad that
they'll
I get to go
envious.
And they don't. I would actually like to
get back to Black Rose.
Get back to Black Rose. Demure, you may stay on and join us, or you may...
I think I'll let somebody else have more
terminate.
Fun before I become your next victim.
See you later, Demir.
Well,
bye.
Thanks for calling in.
Sure.
So, once again, please call in, otherwise I'll be whipped by my dominatrix co-host here. That didn't hurt. The thing that I was worried about, there was some kind of seminar called sadistic reflexology. Was that on here somewhere?
Sadistic reflexology.
Now, isn't reflexology what happens when you look in the sun to your irises?
No.
What's reflexology, Ben?
It's generally a thing of doing things with the palm of the hand or the sole of the feet and the effects that the nerve endings can have elsewhere in the body.
It's 1 p.m. Ballroom A. It's right next to From Sissy to Slut. Wow, there's all... I mean, I should have been here. Scarification.
Interesting that you make such careful note of that particular one.
Vaginal fisting. Oh.
It was a very full weekend. There were probably 8 or 10 two-hour sessions each of Saturday and Sunday for probably, I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
8 or 10 hours of the day.
I was just looking at Saturday. I didn't even see female genitorture. let me try to focus. Did you go to the vaginal fisting conference? Can we let you?
It's a part of it.
And so we were talking about this a little bit earlier, and I still am not sure I understand it. I mean, I'm aware of male anal fisting, which I always consider quite challenging because, you know, the fist is so big and the anus is so small. But I always thought that vaginal fisting was easier because the vaginal canal passes babies, you know, at certain. Obviously, when a woman's pregnant, do either of the women in this room have any experience with this?
I hear that there's the famous Pringle test. The Pringle test, in which if you can fit your hand into a box of Pringles, then...
A can of Pringles, yeah.
A can of Pringles, then fisting should be perfectly fine. And so I generally understood fisting to be a more popular lesbian activity than heterosexual.
Oh, because there's a fist size issue.
Yeah.
And if your fist is too big, it's not going to penetrate.
Well, we have a book here, A Hand in the Bush. The author is a 6-foot-tall woman who I think she said she weighs 2-something. And says she has a large or extra-large size man's hand, and she has never had a partner she could not fist, male or female.
Oh, my God. Wow. What's the author's name if you wanted to order this book?
Deborah
Addington.
A Hand in the Bush.
Yes.
Hand in the Bush.
Wow. Addington.
Incredible.
Is with 2 in the bird.
And so, is fisting pleasurable, or is it a pain thing? Is it a part of the BDSM thing, or is it actually enjoyable? should we try a little fisting now in real time and see?
We've had some personal problems with it, Corey.
I see.
I failed the Pringle can test. I'll just say that much right off the bat. I have rather large hands, even for a man, and I wear a double XL.
We went to the seminar. We've went to the seminar. We've bought the book. We've read the book. We are working at it.
I see.
We are as yet unsuccessful.
I have actually very dainty little hands. I bet I could vaginally fist someone.
Maybe Francine would take you home.
We have gloves.
Really?
I'd like to observe that what you're doing over there, holding your hand in a fist, that's not how it's done.
Oh.
you don't make a fist.
You have to make
because
like
that
the
is
little,
not the smallest shape your hand
oh,
can
I see.
Be. You
the
do
little,
have to work at
little,
being small.
The little shadow puppet ducky.
Oh, I...
That's what does it.
Fascinating. Wow, so nursery school does have some value after all.
So
you've seen the little books about everything I needed to know I learned in kindergarten?
Wow, that just gets more and more true every day.
And then once your hand goes in, it naturally will fold into a fist.
Oh, really? Oh, fascinating.
So you were at this seminar on fisting.
We left it because it wasn't a very good seminar.
So they weren't teaching you things.
All the seminars we went to were very good. This one in particular was...
Well, why don't you tell us about one of the ones that was particularly good for you?
Well, the sadistic reflexology one was really cool.
Right, so tell us what that
is. It was really unexpected is what it was.
It's a matter of giving pain in a way that you wouldn't expect to be painful.
A bit more gentle.
Corey is over here
more
beating
gentle.
On Lurleen's feet.
Excuse me, the person being whipped does not say, please be more gentle. There are two responses possible. Thank you, sir, and may I have another?
Or optionally, red.
So,
I'm sorry.
Tell us about sadistic reflexology so that we can try it over here on the other sofa.
Why don't you show her what sadistic reflexology is like?
I don't think so, no.
I was not able to demonstrate on you.
I don't intend to demonstrate on anyone in this room.
Why?
It's pressing on pressure points in the feet that really, really hurt.
Oh, and pressing really hard.
It's not...
It doesn't need much pressure. It's more placement.
Really?
And there are some spots on the sole of the foot... If you look at the sole of the foot and you put the heel on the floor and the toes up, just above the ball of the foot.
Which is this.
No, yeah, go above the ball at the base.
Ow!
She's feigning here, but at the base of the toes.
Ow!
There are spots.
We'll find the point where you break.
Why don't you go shower?
I don't think she'd like the result.
Ah!
Oh, come on. Do it on me. I'm willing to take any amount of pain.
She's got a shoe off already.
This is my good foot. Oh, well, one of us.
Do it on her.
Who's not going to like it?
Don't do it to me. Do it to Julia.
Do it to me.
Sure. Right. This will take a moment.
Okay. Already it's very relaxing.
So anyway, we had never experienced reflexology.
Oh, it's starting to hurt. That's okay. The toe was starting to detach. I don't know.
I don't think so. No, I didn't find
enough.
It.
Starting to. Oh no. Well,
do you have any idea how little pressure I'm needing to use here?
No. Does it
it's
hurt
not much. The expressions on his face are simply choice. You would not.
It's okay. Interesting, but notice
I made my point to our. All right.
Well, the point is, you work with it like a thumping kind of motion, pulsing.
When first finding the spot, you just sort of have to work into it. But once you've found a spot and you can work with it.
But tell us then, DJ 2000, did you feel the fine line between pleasure and pain here, or was
pleasure?
That pure pain?
I doubt we did it long enough for it to do much.
Yeah, I find myself hungry for pain pain stimulation, and I'm not. No one's really delivering the kind of punishment I need right now. But yeah, I can see how you could go. How you could go places with that. I mean, this is the classic, you know, South American dictator thing, is to like beat people on their feet, right? I mean, it's really painful when you
beating on their feet in particular is dangerous, because if you beat on the feet, you will damage bones. There are I don't know how many dozens and dozens of bones in the foot, but they are both very strong to support normal human activity, and they're also rather fragile in certain ways, especially when you approach them with a lot of pressure from odd angles.
You're a wimp.
In particular, the spots that we were being taught about at the sadistic reflexology seminar, it is very safe spots to work with. Lurleen is having way the heck too much fun here.
Why don't you hand her your whip?
She's got it already. All she has to do is pick it up.
The whip.
You need more.
Lurleen is attempting to dominate me and failing. I just want you to know.
I went to none of these seminars. That's the trouble. Perhaps you could give us a little introduction to dominance.
Beat the sass right out of me.
Been there, done that.
Well, anyway, we are not familiar with reflexology.
So what?
I
what
got you a book today as a present.
But what has sadistic reflexology done for your relationship or done for your sex life?
Well, considering that we only learned about it 3 days ago, not a whole heck of a lot yet.
So you haven't practiced it
at home. But it's an interesting thing, and we've toyed with it a bit. It's very interesting how much of a reaction I can get out of her. It was in part described as a lazy Dom's activity. Because you can sort of sit around and you know, watch the TV with your sub's foot up and do things to her that give her this intense endorphin rush, and you really don't have to work at it. You just sit there and press on points.
And could you be doing long-term damage?
We understand not, but on the other hand, we haven't done it long enough to have much of an opinion, and we've got a book now here that we're going to be looking at to learn something more about it.
What
did we get? We got an hour and a half of a quickie introduction to.
Right.
And so whether we know enough about it right now is open to question, and the answer is probably not.
Okay. So we did those two. We did a blindfold and gags.
Hmm.
That was very good. It was actually done by some friends of ours who we know from the Washington area.
Blindfolds and gags.
Yes.
So, what's there to talk about? And I mean,
what not to do with a blindfold? Don't use blindfolds that are too tight because you do things to the eyes. And and that is not as simple a piece of advice as it sounds like, because there are a lot of different things that people would like to use for a blindfold, and most of them are bad.
How about a cardigan?
Major bad, because of fibers. Don't do that. At least not for any. Yeah, well.
Surely we can find some kind of suitable. That would actually completely alter the radio experience for me. So why would a cardigan be better? Why are some blindfolds bad?
Things with rough fibers in general are bad, because if the sub should open the eyes while under there, you can do actual damage to the ball and the cornea and such. More generally and more commonly, there are problems of pressure. Mm-hmm. And the gentleman who was giving the seminar and his slave woman were talking about these things, that they had one blindfold that was, you know, it, when you look at it first, it looks very comfy. It's a padded, it's almost a pillow with straps on it to go around the head. Well, that's dandy, except for the fact that the pillow protrudes on both sides, and the result is that it ends up putting pressure on the eyeballs.
And your eyeballs stick to your eyelids.
Right.
Oh, my God.
If you leave it on for multiple hours, which sometimes people do. Excuse me.
So just so our listeners understand, I'm now wearing Lurleen's sweater as a blindfold. And actually, the most arousing part of this is that it smells like you. And I'm actually, it's actually, you smell very, is this perfume or is this just your natural musky scent?
I'm sure there's perfume, there's deodorant, there's
some kind of Calgon smell or,
natural musky odors.
It's lovely. I mean, it's like I'm having this moment of heterosexuality that's just kind of overwhelming. Anyway. Oh. So you've brought a big bag of stuff. Should we be probing that bag? Are those the things that I'm looking at?
That's mostly it.
Fabulous. So this
So we did the blindfold and gags one.
But there is a surprise, I heard.
Well, she already did. Apparently this was it. This is I didn't know that she'd gotten this, and this is what
took
it was.
The air right out of it.
So nothing's going as planned.
Be surprised.
Oh, my! How surprising.
What is it exactly that you're surprised by?
It's a book on reflexology. Since we got this quickie 1.5-hour introduction to what they call sadistic reflexology, and because we played with it a little bit and found it abnormally successful, she wanted to get a book to learn more about the underlying principles.
But this is a vanilla reflexology book.
Yes.
This is not a sadistic reflexology book.
Yeah, the book title is what I'm looking at is The Joy of Reflexology, subtitled Healing Techniques for the Hands and Feet.
So this book tells you exactly what not to do then.
And chances are what we are doing is exactly the opposite.
Oh! Okay, we went to a seminar on knife play. That was
knife play?
Yes.
Which is something...
Something we do a fair amount. You've seen this happen before. You saw it at the Eagle.
I think you're. Can we talk about this thing?
Feel free.
Just for listeners who aren't aware of this, Carl and Francine did this little fantasy scene as part of the Miss Pittsburgh Leather Girl 1998, in which Carl carved the word whore. Is that correct?
No.
Slut?
Yes.
Slut. I'm sorry. Sorry for the term. Slut into Francine's
back. The whore would have been one extra letter
with
long,
a knife.
And it wouldn't have fit.
That would have been more painful, too. But so, yeah, I guess I'm sorry. Slut into
Especially
Francine's
that W.
back. With, yeah, that so, would have been.
And you're having too much fun.
Are there scars from this incident?
Temporarily.
And so, is one of the arts of knife play to leave no scars?
Well, you can't.
Depends on what you want to do. I mean, there are people who do knife play for the express purpose of leaving a scar. I don't think I've ever left a scar. I'm reasonably sure I have not, in fact.
You do cut a little from time to time.
Yeah, in general, when we do knife play and when I drag a knife tip across her back, it makes marks. Especially, there's a thing called white lining, which is mm-hmm. where you drag a knife enough to be noticeable and painful and irritating, but not to break the skin. Mm-hmm. And it leaves behind a white line, which in a matter of a couple of hours turns into a red line from irritation.
Yeah, the next day,
and it heals in a day or so.
Thin scabs.
Oh yeah, little tiny things.
I mean, cutting somewhat.
But yeah, this is something that we play at with some frequency. There's a good what we consider a very pleasant sort of extreme control and almost terror aspect to it, to the fact that there's a lethal weapon being dragged across her skin and so forth.
And so now what new skills did you learn at the knife play workshop at Black
Rose? They have caring for your knife, the safety, different safety rules.
Yeah, we had a lot of these had almost little syllabi that came
mixing
along.
Mixing knife play with other scenes, like when you do waxing, you remove the wax with a knife, mm-hmm. which is about the only way to do it. And that's interesting itself because you have almost a cutting off of the skin feeling.
Oh, my.
When you do wax play, you use melted wax or just a burning candle and drip the wax off the candle directly. And it ends up bonding against the skin pretty well at times. I mean, most everyone has gotten a little wax on themselves from time to time. But this is more the idea that you've had wax dripped over you and left in a cake. And it makes a fairly substantial, almost glue-like connection to the skin. And you have to get under it carefully enough to lift it. And so there are questions of, well, first off, what implement do you use? And do you use a knife? It's a pretty good choice, but you have to make sure you don't use a knife that's too sharp, because at times you're going to have to dig under and push in order to get underneath the wax. So you don't want to be digging, you know, shall we say, into the skin.
I think most
a lot of related things like that.
Most of the workshops covered safety and legal issues, and they talked about legalities of knives, what's legal where, and...
So is it illegal to cut the word slut into your friend's back?
Not if they're consenting to it.
So they discuss those sort of issues then?
Yes.
So are there any
In general, there are some big questions about whether you can consent to certain things. Mm-hmm. And it depends on what jurisdiction you're in, and I'm not even sure exactly to what extent it's true in Pennsylvania. But in many jurisdictions, it is the case that it is not possible to consent to assault.
The legality issues covered in this workshop are more as what knives you can carry where, what's legal.
You can't get a knife through an airport, for example, generally speaking.
His dagger is legal in Virginia. It's not illegal here. Some states, it's the length of the blade.
I routinely carry a knife that it's a 6-inch dagger. It's technically a dirk in the law. In Pennsylvania, it doesn't matter. In Virginia and in Maryland, it's not legal to carry. I carried it anyway. I've never been questioned about that particular knife. As the guy who was running that seminar said, an officer isn't going to carry, isn't going to care what you carry unless it becomes a problem. And if he finds that someone's been injured and you're holding a knife, you're in trouble. And if you're walking down the street holding a knife, well, who cares? Generally speaking, apparently we can expect cops to be reasonable on this front.
Okay. BR was handicapped accessible. We had ramps. We had two sign language translators there.
Were there many deaf people there?
A few. I know there was one seminar.
I'm sure I saw six or seven.
Beginning of the S&M games, there was a sign interpreter up there.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw three or four wheelchairs going around.
Well, there were several wheelchairs.
So I guess if you were deaf, then you'd have to have a different kind of stop word, presumably, if you're in some kind of scene. Right?
Well,
I hadn't thought of that. That's probably true. Generally speaking, there are times when if you have something done so the sub cannot talk in the first place when she's gagged or some such thing, right. You have other. If you want to use safe words, you do safe gestures instead.
I would say, we, without too many details, we have a friend in the scene here who is hearing impaired, and who has a hearing
aid. She's got a hearing aid.
It implements a
computer-controlled hearing aid, which it has some sort of natural language understanding and gains ability to help her better over time.
When I was getting to know her, being bold like I am, I asked her what kind of experience it was for sensory deprivation. She says she takes it off all the time just for that reason when she plays, because it's interesting. Wow.
A common sort of safe gesture, if you're going to be involved in using safe words and you're going to gag a sub, obviously you have to find something else. And so a common thing to do is, for example, give the sub a ball to hold. And if she is losing control and can't cope, the safe gesture is to let go of the ball so it bounces. It's important that the gesture being used is a passive gesture so that you stop doing something that was required to keep things going.
Right.
It could be a ball or a scarf or
whatever's handy and small. It has to be non-obtrusive.
Yeah. Games people play at BR98.
Well, what games do people play? Yeah.
The S&M games. Here's your different contests.
It was fairly silly, but kind of fun.
That's all right. So, did you see any of the BR Olympics, or what are they called? BR.
They just call them the SM Games. I don't think they call them the Olympics, did they?
I guess they would get. The Olympics is a trademark name.
Probably.
I know the Gay Olympics had to change their name to the Gay Games because.
Did they really?
Because the Olympic Committee was not. Doesn't go for that kind of thing.
Here we had the clothespin contest. Each team of two will be given a bucket of clothespins, and we'll have 5 minutes to put as many on as possible.
Wow, so that's both a time thing and, I mean, which is the...
Time and quantity.
So which is, what's the skill level there? Like, enduring all that pain or just getting them on as quickly as possible?
You put one clothespin on yourself, it's no big deal. You get 50 of them and it becomes a really serious problem because an awful lot of nerve endings are starting to complain. Right. And you get to 100 and a lot of people can't cope, period.
Really? Incredible. And so when you start to not cope, there's this problem because you can't get them all off at once either. I mean, you have to be...
Generally speaking, anything that clamps you is a problem in that regard because once it's on, sooner or later, it's got to come off. A relatively common toy is what's called a nipple clamp, and it is exactly what it sounds like. It goes on the nipple and it clamps down. Well, if you leave a clamp on a nipple long enough, the nipple goes numb. If you then take the clamp off abruptly... The blood flows back to it very fast. The nerve wakes up in a major hurry, and the sub screams. As one of our hosts sits over there with her arms crossed tightly across her chest.
Oh, I forgot to mention the play piercer. Did we talk about the play piercer?
I don't think we did, no.
Tell us, dude.
There was one other workshop that we went to on temporary piercing, and this is exactly what it sounds like. where you take narrow gauge needles, usually syringe style, mm-hmm. On the order of 20 to 25 gauge needles, about an inch or an inch and a half long, and you experiment with breaking the skin on purpose. And on was it Saturday night? No, it was Sunday night. At the play party Sunday night, we watched one woman doing a rather artistic circle of needles on the left shoulder blade of a gentleman laying down in what was called the medical play area. It was really quite interesting.
The circle of needles. So
we didn't mention there was a 20,000 square foot dungeon.
Party. There were parties each night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and it's the exhibition center of the Ramada Inn, and there were about 100 pieces of major equipment, including what's called a St. Andrew's cross, which is it's an X, so that a person is put up in a spread eagle position, usually upright or leaning at least. And a medical area with examination tables because there's some serious enjoyment that people have in the doctor-patient sort of scene. A waxing area with everything covered in plastic so they wouldn't be ruining the carpet. There was a scaffolding at one area because people do suspension bondage and with block and tackle hung off the scaffolding so that people could get bound up and then strung from it.
So
what else was there? I'm forgetting.
So what did you two play at the play parties? Go ahead.
All right, fine. The first night we didn't play. We watched a little, but we were busy. The second night we got our time to ourselves, and mostly we had her on a St. Andrew's cross and doing a flogging followed by. I didn't bring it tonight. I've got a sort of a buggy whip. It's a mostly rigid thing, about 2.5-3 feet long, with a 6-inch snapper on the end of it. A flexible snapper, mm-hmm. and I used a deerskin flogger and then the buggy whip, and I finished off by doing some knife play on her back. Made a rather interesting mess of her back. It was kind of fun, and she was pretty far out in the ozone by the time we were done, in a good way.
How's your back tonight, Francine?
Am I still Mark?
I have no idea.
You're not in pain tonight, though. Not squirming on the sofa here in front of us.
I'm going to give out the phone numbers one more time in our final few minutes. 621-9728. Please call in with questions or comments. If you don't mind, I'm a little bit interested in probing this this temporary piercing idea just a little bit, because I can't quite imagine this. You've got these needles. They just kind of dig under your skin, or they go all the way through one limb?
You go laterally shallow under the skin and come back out again.
Oh, okay.
Would you like to try?
I think not.
imagine that. He'll decline to be stuck.
But these are like sanitary syringe type.
Yes, you order them from medical supply houses, or actually we've learned that a good source is veterinary supply houses because they ask fewer questions, frankly.
I see. Well, I mean, I've got, you know, when I shoot up, I use needles, but I mean, that's for the purpose of getting, you know, satisfying my heroin addiction. But so this is just to cause pain. I see. Ow. Wow.
It's not even so much pain. Well, the ones you're holding now, we brought a couple in with us for the listening audience. We brought in a couple that were given to us by a friend. The ones that we're holding are 20 gauge, which is a little bit on the large size for this kind of use.
Now, if I open this, will it ruin the sterility? Should I not?
Well, you shouldn't do that because we'd rather not have to.
You could open the other one that's in there.
Yeah. It's just the tip taken off of another syringe just like it.
Okay, but I can't open the other one.
It won't be used on a human if that's what you're wanting.
Be very careful.
People stick themselves badly often when they try to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, but that's the point, right?
Seldom the case that you want to stick yourself, and it will make you jump in bad ways if you do unexpectedly.
Fascinating.
But again, those are 20 gauge, which is a little on the large size.
My eye.
We don't need this. At the seminar, the woman who was leading it was using 23 gauge and 24 gauge needles.
Put it away.
Would you like to do it?
I don't think we'll have time. There's only 5 minutes.
And so you were mentioning somebody was knitting a little rose-like pattern or flower-like pattern, a circular pattern or something.
Took about 40 of them in a circle going inward, where all the points met at the middle. Did one on the shoulder blade and one on the upper arm. Like that. Of different gauges, too. Because the different gauges are different colored tips.
There's color coding to the gauge.
And the sense in which then it's temporary piercing is as long as you leave the needle in, it's temporarily pierced, then you withdraw the needle.
Then you pull it out when you're done, right. Yes.
And it will heal.
No, you could thread the needles with sutures, or they call ribbons, and then tie bows and leave them in for a day or two.
Okay. But it's only temporary because, I mean, when I was a girl, I know people pierced their ears with pieces of cotton, with the needle and then pieces of cotton.
Right.
So this is the same technique.
This is explicitly not to leave a hole permanently. It is to play with doing things to the skin.
But how is it different from... It's only in purpose that it's different from permanent piercing, not in...
It's different because nothing is left in the hole, and it is not expected to heal as a whole.
Oh, the needles themselves are smaller than the ones.
Yes, okay. For example, a typical nipple piercing is done in 16 or 14 gauge needles,
right?
And appropriate jewelry left in after the needle is done, has done its job. Again, these are done with much narrower needles on the order of 23 gauge or so.
Oh, I guess I don't understand the terminology of gauge.
I'm sorry. Yes, I should have explained.
The higher the number, the thinner the needle.
Oh. I haven't got a shotgun.
You used to shoot shotguns, didn't you?
No, I took that one out from under my pillow and deleted all the memories.
they had some interesting recommendations and anti-recommendations. For example, you should not, if you want to do plate piercing, you should not use acupuncture needles because they are very narrow, too narrow, on the order of 35 gauge. It's essentially a wire, and acupuncture needles are normally only used for barely getting past the surface of the skin, whereas what you're doing in this kind of plate piercing is deliberately going... you know, an inch or so under the surface of the skin before coming back out, and you can bend an acupuncture needle too easily in going that distance.
Quickly talk about the SM game.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Single tail accuracy for the DOMs.
Single tail.
A single tail is a whip. Mm-hmm. It's a short 4 to 6 foot whip. One thing.
Francine, let us know. Speak to us.
Anyway, they we're doing this with a board with balloons on it. Different color balloons got different points for the DOMs. There's a nipple lifting contest.
Nipple lifting.
Had a local
one of the sillier games.
Lifting.
This is what we were doing earlier.
When you were dusting my nipples with rouge,
they attach a set of clover clamps. Clamps are. I don't know. They're Japanese.
It's an SM
clamps.
Toy. It comes out of a Japanese design.
I think I have these. Now that you describe it, there are these fabulous little intricate. Metal things that have this kind of, they're spring-loaded and you pop it open and it clips your nipple and proceed.
But they would spray stick-em stuff like basketball players use to make their hands sticky onto the nipple so they would hold better, and then they would attach weights to them. And it ended up going to the very end where there were two men in the contest going back-to-back. It got to the point where they had used all the weights.
Or front-to-front.
They had used all the weights. They had no more weights to put on. So they gave them a choice to either do a tug of war and tug them off each other, which they refused, or let them hold them as long as they possibly could. And the first guy, it slipped off his nipple at 47 seconds, and then the next guy went beyond that. So
and so what sort of weights were they?
14 pounds.
14 pounds, just little.
They refused.
And what weight did the women drop out?
You know, honestly, I think it was more a structural problem than their willingness to hold the weight problem.
If they slid off the first time, they gave you a second chance. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think anyone...
And the clover clamps just weren't holding to female nipples very well.
Right. Now, what about if you could apply the pencil test? And then the pencil test?
I'm sorry, that draws a blank on me.
Oh, the pencil test.
I'm not aware of the pencil test.
Also
either.
Known as the toothbrush test. So, some can't place a pencil under the breast and then release the hand holding the pencil, and the pencil will stay by itself.
Oh, this is sort of a gauge of bust firmness, I guess?
Bust firmness or size.
No, that wasn't what was involved here.
Right, but you can imagine now if you're well qualified for the pencil test, then perhaps you could underneath the breast hold.
Well, it had to be on the nipples.
Oh, it had to be on the nipples, okay.
As the sensitive area in question.
And they had to hold them for up to 5 seconds. Five seconds before they could put them down. So there was a self-bondage one and bondage in a bag one. And that's the end of the S&M games. So you could finish up.
Fantastic. Well, I think that was the time to go signal. I'm not sure. But I want to...
That's a yes from the engineer behind the window.
I'd like to do our station identification. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. And Carl and Francine, thank you for this fantastic...
Thank you very much.
Actually, is there a website for the Black Rose? For
BR.org.
BR.org.
Mm-hmm. www.br.org.
So if I wanted to go next year, I could sign up and
if you want to stay at the Ramada, make your reservation early, like March.
Oh, fantastic. So I'll be toughening up my nipples now in order to get ready for the time. Lurline, Carl, and Francine, thank you all for joining us. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Demure, for calling. And good night.
Good night.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 Forbes Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728.